The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
She run away. She promised she'd be faithful to me.
Oh, yeah.
But she scheme on me. Say she take all my money.
Oh, yeah.
She take my car.
Oh, yeah.
My virginity.
Oh, yeah.
Is with her now.
Oh, yeah.
Now going crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Can't even sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Can't even eat.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to drink.
Oh, yeah.
I should've listened to mommy.
Oh, yeah.
I should've listened to papi.
Oh, yeah.
Man, this girl has the heart to take my ring.
Oh, yeah.
I nearly married the golem. 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 Rick and Scrap.
Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 3rd of June, and you're on the clock with Erin. You almost married the Garland Green. My modern name, the name in my passport, is Gay Wench. That's what I guess my government name. But affectionately in the bush, they call me the Garland Woman, and I'm here today. I have two sets of guests this morning. Now listen, I know that this, let's get to it. We're going to get to it. Some of this news requires preparation for a real good conversation about it, like the appointment of cabinet ministers and their portfolios. We're going to walk through that this week and next week, along with a number of other topics. But this morning, I have two guests in studio with me. My first guest is all the way from Canada. Y'all, you ever been to Canada? I've been to Canada and I loved it every time. There's something about Canada, right? Now, some of y'all may know it about by Canada, but when you become real good friends, you know their nickname is Canada. I've been to Canada plenty times. And I've always had a good time. Even when I got stopped by security 4 times in one flight in the Toronto airport, though, I think that's Pearson Airport, in the Toronto airport, I have never experienced such a polite search in my life. I mean, these boys, them root me up, but it was so polite and professional. The gentleman said, ma'am, at this point, you're required to search your locks. Now, we could do it in public. If you're okay with me, a man, doing it, we could do it here. Or if you require some privacy, we could step into this hallway. If you would like a female officer to accompany, we could do that. I said, well, I don't know. I have to put this on. But your tourism form is, I have to put up a star on this form. Even the security protocols were polite. And that's what Canada is known for. It's known for its polite and welcoming spirit. Right? And I guess you have to be polite and welcoming when you're cold. This is a lesson for Bahamians. When you're cold, you see, you could be cold, but you gotta be polite and welcoming at the same time. Bahamian women have perfected that skill, gift, talent, how to be cold and polite and welcoming at the same time. That's why I cannot wait to speak to Miss Jenya Monroe this morning. She is the president of an organization called Bahamas Community Impact. And she's here today to share with us what Bahamians are doing in Canada. Now, Johnny Cake, Solo Made, Shine, Iron, Vocab, one of y'all, we're going to need the song right away. What Bahamians doing in Canada? Miss Monroe. Tell me, what my cousin's doing in Canada since I left them there 15 years ago?
Oh, man, we are doing it all in Canada. We're bringing the Bahamas to Canada. Like, we're taking over Canada. And I'm so excited about, you know, the upcoming Independence celebration that we're going to be hosting, which is July 18th to the 20th. And the reason for this event is not just a celebration, but it's to get the Bahamas, you know, exposed to what it is we do, our culture, our food. Oh, my God, I love the food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't run away from the food. And at this event, we're going to have the Royal Bahamas Police Force pop band. They're going to be there performing. We're also going to have the Junkanoo group. You know, we love our Junkanoo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got to make sure they're there. We're going to have Bohemian Craft as well, too, because we need Canada to see exactly what Bohemians are all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be so exciting. It's going to be, you know, we're bringing the community together. We're bringing the Bahamas. We are already there, to be honest. But we're bringing that exposure so they see exactly what our culture is all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What I think about all the time when I think about Canada is how we have to be cousins. Because, like, a lot of the food we make here is perfect for Canada.
Yes.
Stew fish. And you know the best part is, so I was in London, which is similarly cold at times, right? And my cousin said, I got a Christmas surprise for you, stew fish and Johnny cake. And she apologized. She said, but all I could find was snapper heads. And I was like, but that's what stew fish is supposed to be made from.
Snapper head.
The snapper head. This is perfect. Pea soup and doughboy, okra soup, split pea soup. This is what Canada is made for.
Yes.
Absolutely. So tell us a bit about the days. What can we expect? How do we connect? And if I am, say, like a Bahamian business,
okay,
maybe just a Bahamian business, or maybe I am a business owner who also has a student in university in Canada, how can I be a part of the event? Not just attend, but ensure that it is a success.
Okay, so right now, what we're doing is we're partnering up with the ministries and business owners. There is going to be vendors out there as well, too. So if you're interested in getting a boot, you can send an email to Bohemian Community Impact Niagara at gmail.com. Send us your request. We will send you the application, and we will go from there. Also, too, like I said, it's going to be so exciting. It's going to be different vendors, food vendors, craft vendors, just showing you exactly, you know, what it is we actually do. So, you know, you can attend, but you can also participate in it as well, too. We're going to also have, you know, the Consul General there as well. And the invite is open to Bahamians. We want as much Bahamians out there as possible. It's at a great venue. There's lots of space. There's lots of activities for the kids and the youths. There's going to be so much going on. Listen, even though we say 12 to 5, I think it's going to be 12 to 12 midnight.
All right. So listen, if I'm on the U.S. side of the Niagara region,
okay,
right, can I write the consulate and say, listen, I'm trying to get into Canada. Tell me what paperwork I need to fill out to be able to cross the border for this particular event.
Yeah, so you can reach out to the Consul General's office,
mm-hmm,
and they will give you the details on what it is you would need to in order to cross over. But for the most part, it's just having your visa, your
okay,
Canadian ETA.
All right. Another quick question. So I'm a food vendor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about this opportunity, right? But I don't necessarily have the capacity to move my entire operation up to Canada. Through the organization Bahamas Community Impact, would you be able to connect me with, not make an agreement, but just identify Bahamian restaurateurs and businesses that may be willing to partner with a Bahamian resident food vendor that wants to come up and participate?
Most definitely. What we're doing is we are actually partnering with Bahamian restaurants there in Canada.
Yeah.
And again, we let you know exactly what it is you need. We call it health certificate there. That one is health safety there in Canada. That's the name of it. But to be honest, it's not hard coming down, getting all set up, and having the credentials that is required for that.
All right.
Okay.
So just connect with the organization, and you let them know which agencies they need to reach out to ensure all of their paperwork is in order.
Most definitely. We will send you the links. We will tell you exactly what is required. And to be honest, I think coming into Canada is one of the most easiest country to get into, to be honest. They don't give you a hard time.
No, I tell you, I mean, I could be honest, I had like 5 feet of locks on my hair at the time, right? So I could appreciate, they just wanted to check. Maybe I was sneaking some guava duff in and I wasn't sharing it with them. You'd never know what security be on.
They love the guava duff, just so you know.
Another quick question. I'm a non-food vendor. Maybe I do souvenirs, I do t-shirts.
Awesome.
That's the people you're looking for to reach out.
Yes, those ones as well. To anyone with craft, like we have one of the vendors, she does the crochet. You know, she crochets the scrunchies, the dresses, the pants. She even crochets slippers. And I'm like, how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
So talented. There's so many things Bahamians are doing down there. We even have custom printing down there where, you know, they custom made your mugs, your t-shirts, you know. She's going to be offering the Bahamian Independence t-shirts as well too. She's going to be advertising. So listen, you got some craft in you. You got some talent in you. Bahamian Community Impact Niagara at gmail.com. Give us an email today. We will give you all the details along with the application and let's celebrate independence.
Now, listen, I know that we are on the eastern side of Canada, right? And our French-speaking Canadians are on closer to the side of Canada.
That would be Quebec.
Quick question. Do you know the French name for slippers?
Don't do that to me.
Okay, no problem. See, because there's this culture that I think in Latin culture, they call it chiclata. When your mom is when the slippers turn into a disciplinary tool, that's what you call it. You don't call it a weapon unless you're the child who got hit with it, right? But I come in up to Canada to sell Bahamian chocolates. But since
most definitely
Canada is also French speaking, I gotta find the French word for slippers.
No problem.
Because we know what it is. Although, so tell me, how much sun y'all getting this year?
You know what? A lot of times, man. Bahamians here, Canada, they think we have cold all year round.
Mm-hmm.
I just left a few days ago, and guess what? It feels like 100 degrees there. It's hot already. We have heat from May until about end of September.
Oh, that's a shame. Because my biggest business idea was importing Bahamian sunshine and heat to Canada for independence. It ain't gonna feel the same unless you sweat that Bahamian sweat after you cut a rug, you plait the maypole, you do the hustle and gossip. I don't know if your parents ever went to the Cat and Fiddle, but they do a dance, I think, called the Hussy Gussy or something like that. Yeah, our parents used to carry on bad. In the cultural showcase, will we have examples of traditional Bahamian dance and cultural activities?
Oh, yes, most definitely. So we have some Bahamian dances that actually reside right there in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been performing to not just Bahamian events, but they have been performing to other cultural events, because we have an organization called Niagara Folks Art.
Yes.
And they have been performing to that. And listen, every year they want our dancers to come back.
Yes, because Canada has a rich indigenous and folk culture and traditions that they've maintained.
Very multicultural.
And that's what we is right now.
Yes.
I need to get the singing pastor and his backup dancers up there.
We'll take him too.
For modern, see, I understand liturgical dance, but you don't understand modern spiritual performance until you see the singing bishop and his backup dancers. I love it. But I hear, like, again, you're going to have the RBPF pop band.
That's right.
And a 17-member Junkanoo group?
Yes, 17.
That's
member.
A real group.
Yes.
That's a real time to be raised. Now, could I bring my little Junkanoo, my horn, my whistle?
Bring it.
Absolutely. Okay. Would I be able to purchase small things like that? Maybe a cowbell, maybe a small tum-tum drum?
So listen, vendors, you hear that? So if you have those for sale, you need to be in Canada July 18th to the 20th.
Right, because what Bahamians in the diaspora want is home.
Yes.
Where they are. And so souvenirs, but more than souvenirs, cultural artifacts.
Yes, that's right. That is what
if I could use that term, we have a professional in the building with us who can explain what an artifact actually is. But
souvenirs can come too because, listen, it's not just going to be Bahamians. It is open to everyone because we want that exposure. We want that them to see our cultural events. I already have the Italians who are very excited. They attended our meet and greet last year.
Okay.
And they said to me, Jenya, let us know when the next one is coming. They love the Junkanoo mm-hmm. group. So, you know, the craft, the souvenirs. I want them to see exactly what Bahamians do and what are we good at.
And be versatile, guys. Not just Bahamas, friends of the Bahamas, right? If you know they're going to be Italians there. Italy, Bahamas, friends forever, right? Things like that. If you know, is there a Bahamian city, twin sister city in Canada? Do we have any sister cities?
I will say the sister city is Toronto.
Okay.
That's where most of the Bahamians are. But we are hosting this event in Niagara Falls.
All right.
Yeah.
Bring our swimsuits? Oh, no, we're not going in the falls.
No, man, you got to go. You got to go. Bring your swimsuits. Let's go. Let's have a good time.
Okay. Aye for that. All right. Tell people again how to connect with Bahamas Community Impact to participate in this year's Diasporic Independence Celebrations in Canada, Niagara region.
That's right. Okay, so again, July 18th to the 20th, we are hosting the Independence Celebration. It is going to be in Niagara Falls. If you need more information, please email us at Bahamian Community Impact Niagara at gmail.com. So it's Bahamian Community Impact at gmail.com. And if you need contact information, I know it's overseas, it's 289-783-5324. This is an event you do not want to miss. All are welcome. You have souvenirs, you have the drums, the cow. You serve good Bahamian food, come on down. You are welcome. Listen, we miss it down there. It's going to be great.
Conch. Y'all got the conch farm up there?
It ain't the Bahamian conch farm.
It's not Bahamian owned. Are they growing queen conch?
In Canada?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so it's a different type of conch.
It's a different type of conch, yes. But okay. Our conch, our Bahamian restaurant that is in Canada, our conch comes from the Bahamas.
All right, yes. This is awesome. I know, this is, producer, let's prep the caller. I know a little secret about conch, how to make fresh conch salad from frozen conch. But a Garland told me, so I don't know if I could share the secret on air.
Let's hear it.
I can tell you, I can whisper it to you as soon as I finish talking to this caller. Good morning, caller.
Morning again, Ms. Green.
Morning, sir.
Boy, Ms. Green, I didn't realize how old I was when I turned 75 and how young you are when you don't remember the name of that song.
Remind me.
That song is the dance of the banana boat and the cat and fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Hully Gully.
The Hully Gully. Well, you know Corinne Mitchell wouldn't even let me off the side porch.
We used to pass y'all playing on the eastern side, the East Street opposite the Barrack Gate.
Yes, sir.
I know you're the people, but let me tell you something. There's a new disease in the Bahamas, you know.
Yes, sir.
It's called road rage.
Ms. McGreen, I going up
Blue Road to go to AID yesterday. Right that corner, but you turn it through by Hasty Gas Station, the SO gas station, between the gas station and AID.
Mm-hmm.
This, boy, I can't call that word on the radio. This place is on the western side of the road. Come cross the road in front of me to go to that corner right there, right in front of me, without even putting on indicator or blowing on or slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I see in America white people just come out of them car with them guns and just shoot you. They call it road rage in America, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It can be road rage right around here. So some people do some stupid stuff on the road, man.
Absolutely.
I hope that car's on in the morning. Everybody listening. They gotta stop this foolishness and police doing the same thing, too.
Oh, boy, listen. I wish Thank you very much. I wish that we could send every driver to Canada for driving tests. Every single one.
I don't know if they can pass. I could be honest.
And that's why in developed nations, public transportation is an essential service. It is a basic. It is like opening your mouth and expecting oxygen to be available to you. It is a requirement because not everybody has the capacity to operate a motor vehicle properly in public roadways. But when you get to a big city, you realize you don't have many chances to make a mistake. You got to get it right every time. But yes, Sparky, that's me though. I just have the road rage. It's me. I could be honest. It gets frustrating watching people constantly break the law on the road and then complain that the people who follow in the law are the problem makers. Why you don't just let me put my phone in my face and watch this movie in peace, miss? Why you gotta go somewhere? Why you always have to go somewhere? And I get it, you know, because he probably in a house where he can't stand the people in his house no more. Because he probably paid all the bills and they have no regard. Like, we get it. People have real life issues. But the larger your community gets, the less opportunity you have to spill your issues out into the public roadways. Anyway, Ms. Monroe.
Yes.
We would love to have you back on. We have the function of Zoom available. We'd love to connect with Bahamians in the diaspora. I want to talk to them about some things,
Most definitely.
We want to know how they feel being in the diaspora, right? Like, how does it feel to be a Bahamian in the diaspora? I got a sense of it when I was in university, right? Mm-hmm. But because they will always be Bahamians until they're not Bahamians, wherever they are, it's important to check the temperature. To understand how they connect to the Bahamas. It's not just about what Bahamians in the diaspora do for the Bahamas. It's about what the Bahamas means to Bahamians in the diaspora as well. Ms. Monroe, thank you for having me. I hope I could have you back on before the event so we could talk some more, and maybe you can bring some Bahamians in the diaspora on air with you to tell us in the Bahamas what you need, what you would like, and how we can continue to grow our diaspora.
Most definitely. It's a pleasure. Thank mm-hmm. you for having me on. And we will be here whenever you need us. We will be back on before the event, you know, just to let them know exactly what is needed. And, of course, we're going to have more Bahamians on because it will be, I guess, through Zoom.
Yes. And just be aware, I didn't get the senatorship so I could become the traffic czar. But I'm working on something at the UN. I'm going to be the czar of bouncing castles, international protocol. Don't make me have to come up to Canada to find out if y'all have a Bahamian bouncing castle. Producer, take us to the break. And when we get back from the break, we talking to and about the Gaulin woman. What a time. You're on the clock with Erin Green. We'll be right back.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity. We're good for you.
Hope still lives in community. Join the Jenny Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group for the Hope Walk 2026 on Saturday, June 13th at 6 a.m. at Goodman's Bay. Walk alongside survivors, patients, caregivers, and families as we come together in support. Enjoy fellowship, vendors, activities, and our inspiring Hope Concert immediately following the walk. Register at gdcancersupportgroup.com.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Cancer touches far too many families, but hope still lives in community. Join the Jenny Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group for the Hope Walk 2026 on Saturday, June 13th at 6 a.m. at Goodman's Bay. Walk alongside survivors, patients, caregivers, and families as we come together in strength, healing, and support. Enjoy community fellowship, vendors, activities, and our Inspiring Hope concert immediately following the walk. Register today at gdcancersupportgroup.com. Let's take every step forward together for hope.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. As we get the show started, let me remind you about 2026. Join the Jenny Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group for Hope Walk 2026, Saturday, June 13th at 6 a.m. at Goodman's Bay Park. Walk in honor of a survivor, in memory of a loved one, or simply to support those facing cancer today. Register now at gccancersupportgroup.com. gccancersupportgroup.com. And sometimes you just gonna walk for yourself, you know, to show the world I can beat this thing. I've already beaten it. And I just want y'all to know you could beat it too. Thank you so much, Jenny Dean, Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group, for this wonderful initiative. Now, joining me in studio is the Garland Woman. The spirit of the Garland Woman has arrived with us in studio. Now, when I say the Garland Woman, I'm talking about Patricia Glinton Mikolas. And joining me in studio today, we have Mr. Nico Mikolas and Miss Jody Minnis. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. How are you doing? Thank you for having me.
Good morning. Now, the last time I spoke to you on air, I think you were Jody Minnis, but now you have a new name, Mrs.
Rowell, Jody Minnis Rowell.
Jody Minnis Rowell. Good morning, madam. It's a pleasure to have you in studio with us today, and good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Now, last week, I had the pleasure of accepting an invitation to the opening of the newest show at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, The Garland Woman, Uncovering Our Bahamian Selves, curated by Letitia Marie Pratt, but inspired by the life and work of Patricia Glinton Mikolas. Jody, what role are you playing at the National Art Gallery now? And tell us why the gallery decided that The Garland Woman, Uncovering Our Bahamian Selves, is going to be a permanent exhibition.
So I am currently the curatorial director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, but in regards to this exhibition and Transforming Spaces, I'm the chief curatorial officer of Transforming Spaces. And even before I came to the NAGB, the committee reached out to me for a theme for Transforming Spaces. And it was very briefly after Patty's loss, and I just thought that this just had to happen. There had to be some way of honoring her, the visual arts community, that is, to honor her work. And I went to Chasing Light, which is her third poetry book, and that's when this call came out. So by the time as I came to the National Art Gallery, Letitia had wanted to respond to the call and said, hey, I want to do this exhibition about poetry. But we then continued to talk and just, like, figured out the, like the NAGB is about Bahamian art history. So that's where Uncovering Our Bahamian Selves came from. And we wanted in our permanent exhibition space so people could see the work from our national collection and collections around the island that would have supported Patty's work, the Bahamian Art 1492 to 1992 book at the time. So that's why it's there as a permanent exhibition.
All right. So I'm going to read from the National Art Gallery's page to tell the people what The Garland Woman, Uncovering Our Bahamian Selves is. The Garland Woman reflects on the life and accomplishments of the late Patricia Glinton McCullis, recognizing her position as that of a visual art historian. Based on her seminal publication, Bahamian Art, 1492 to 1992, the exhibition examines Glinton McCullis's close connections with artists of Generation 80, whose work marked the development of modern art in the Bahamas. This exhibition features works by artists whom she taught, engaged, and promoted throughout her life, illustrating a genuine cross-discipline approach to Bahamian literature and visual arts. Glinton McCullis spent her career documenting the texture and specificity of Bahamian culture beyond the image of paradise manufactured for tourism. The exhibition presents interviews, historical ephemera, and artworks from NAGB's collection to consider how artists and storytellers helped shape the mythos of a post-independence Bahamas. The exhibition argues that visual art and oral history are not on the margins of Bahamian culture, but foundational to the process of nation building and self-definition. And that's why I get to take a moment to put on my gay wench shirt. Good morning, cousin, who declared and named me appropriately, I think, gay wench. I take it as the modern Garland woman, right? But also, sir, that you and I made art, right? Like, not on the margins of Bahamian culture, but an art that is now foundational to the process of nation building and self-definition, right? Like, that's what Patty's work attempted to create a space for. Good morning, Mr. McCullis.
Good morning.
Pull the mic a little closer to you.
So I wanted to mention that the she didn't actually teach this, the students that the people who were involved in the NAGB. That the story starts back in, there was an art room established by Patty and Stan Burnside at the College of the Bahamas at the time. It wasn't the university at the time, and people like Jolyon Smith, John Beadle, Erica James, Dion Benjamin Smith, Dashno Burns, Clive Stewart, myself, we all had cubicles in that space. So when Patty moved into, because, you know, she was at the College of the Bahamas as a lecturer and then as the chairperson of humanities, but she moved into the Counselors Limited, where she started to be more involved in promotion and, you know, because we were part of the Bahamas News Bureau. So Patty took it upon herself. She realized, she said, we have some really talented people in this space, and I know these people. When we did An Evening in Guanima, which is the first book that we published, Patty said, I have to involve all the students, all the people, all the artists that I know, which would have been Stan Burnside and all of those students at the time. So it was a determined thing on her part to push, to develop, to connect with the art community and promote the art community, because she started to realize as we were moving through the system. And the funny thing is, you don't realize you're living history. We just were enjoying our lives, doing our thing. She wanted to promote. So she decided actively, I'm going to write about Bahamian art, which mm-hmm. she took to doing. Then Joan...
Because that's how you create a space to begin to appreciate Bahamian art. You got to... Yeah. Create the
you
space
have to be
to
living
it,
it.
Yeah.
Okay, you have to be living it. And you know, another thing, like when I was discussing with Letitia Pratt and Jody and Malin at the National Art Gallery, to whom I'm very grateful for seeing, having the vision to see how important, and, you know, she was in that, Patty absolutely made a determined effort that I'm going to, because when... The topic of creating the book, Bahamian Art, 1492 to 1992, came up. At first, they were just putting in the old masters and stuff like that, which is fine. But Patty went, no. Mm-hmm. I know all these new artists coming up. Where are they? Why are they not included? And so, of course, Joan challenged her. That's a lot of things that people don't realize is that Joan... And Patty partnering, because Patty would come up with her crazy ideas.
Joan's last name?
Albury. Joan right. Albury at the Councilism.
Yes.
And people do not give Joan Albury the credit that they should give her. People have no idea what this woman has pioneered in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And Patty and Joan together were phenomenal. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So because Patty... What Patty would do is come up with her zany ideas, and Joan would find someone to support it, that to financially went after. Once Patty and them came up with the idea to do the book, and Patty said, okay, yeah, I'll put all these people in the book, Joan said, okay, let's find someone, and they found Finco.
So Patty and Joan together were like the Keith Parker of the arts world. Keith Parker in the sports world had an ability to see the landscape, the raw talent in it necessary to turn it from potential to kinetic energy.
Yes. So Joan's thing was always she supported Patty's crazy, okay?
All right.
You know, for example, when I think about when we decided to put on the SeaWorlds Festival about in 2018, I remember saying to myself, oh, Lord, what is Patty up to now? What is she dragging me into? And I started praying, oh, Lord, please let somebody discourage this ambition. In the end, we were able to fund free of charge 200 students, have them in there, expose them to writing, expose them to international people and stuff like that. Because that once she set her mind to something, she was... We were going to do it. End of story.
Absolutely. I'm going to go to the phone line. When we get back from the phone line, Nico, I need you to tell us who is Generation 80s the other side of the caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? Good morning, caller. Did I miss you? Oh, I hear something in the background, but I think we missed them. All right. Generation 80s. Who this is? Who this is?
Okay. So it... You have to, it was these, that set that were coming up in, and it's so amazing. That little art room brought about so many people. You don't even realize you're looking at their art sometimes and what they were doing. You take, for example, Clive Jolyon, John Beadle, who just died and who was at the Art Biennale. He, at the Art Biennale with Lavar Monroe.
Yes.
Exactly.
The Venice Biennale.
And then you had Dion Benjamin Smith, who went into graphics in a major way. And she and Jolyon got married. And when you see their work together, like Jolyon's work is on buildings, on the Pompeii Museum building.
Yes.
Then you had people like Clive Stewart. He's a teacher. I think he's a teacher teaching in the administration.
He's in Long Island.
All
right.
And then you had Erica James. Erica James was at one point the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And then she later went on to become a professor in the, you know which university she's at now? I can't remember. But she just finished a book. I know Caliban is in the name, but
after Caliban.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
absolutely. And if you are so lucky as to have her friend you on Facebook, or you can follow her Facebook account, it's like an art history lesson every other day when she's not busy teaching or tending to her tropical fruit trees. So Jody.
Yeah.
Now, me and you, we're not Generation 80, right?
No.
What is it like from your generation as an artist and now becoming an art curator and historian? What is it like to connect to Patty's work?
It's everything. I remember very early on in my career, Tamika Galanis, who is an artist and also an archivist in her own right, she gave me the Bohemian Arts 1492 to 1992 book, and she was like, you have to read this. She's like, before you do anything else art-wise, like, read this book. And it was through, like, familiarizing myself with Patty's words, Basil P. Smith's words, Charles Huggins' words, it made me remember that I am a part of a larger community that existed way before me. And the work that I'm creating now is a part of this overall conversation. Like, there's, like, I'm not making anything new. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm existing within an already functioning ecosystem, and I'm just another generation that's adding to it as an artist. And it also, what I think is really beautiful, the base essay or text, one of them that Leticia sort of referred to, was about our Bohemian selves and this and Patty, like, affirming the Bohemian aesthetic and affirming, I believe that a lot of her work, what I get from it, is an affirmation of who we are. Like, yes, this Bohemian Creole English is what we speak. Yes, this food that is, you know, Creole also has remnants of the Southern America is who we are. So it's a lot of affirming in a way that makes me as an artist grounded and confident and secure in the way that I make based off of the influences of this place. And as a curator, I just thank her. And I thank Nico and everyone, Joan Aubrey and everybody else who at the time would have supported her and worked alongside her in her documentation, because now we have sort of like a baseline work to build on top of. And I believe, and it was one of the reasons why Leticia and I were so specific about telling the history. It's because Patty Lowe would have written that book, but it still ends in 1992. We are in 2026, and there hasn't been another comprehensive Bohemian art history book to come after that. Mm-hmm. So we want people to see that there are missing gaps that have to be documented. Mm-hmm. Like, the work should not cease with Patty's work. This is work that has to continue. There has to be another few Patricia Glendinning-Akilises in our generation that picks up the baton of the work that she's doing. And our job at the institution is to inspire, it is to document, it is to exhibit, but it is heavy, heavy, heavy on the inspiration to not just present her work, but to allow young curators, young cultural historians, young persons who are interested in folklore, who are interested in Strasscraft, who are interested in regatta, who is interested in poetry, who's interested in publishing, who is interested in festivals, to say that this woman did it. Her mm-hmm. and her husband, her and her team, her and all of these other, like, support networks and systems did it, because this is necessary work that has to continue. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, yeah. One of the things, every time Patty spoke, one of the things she always left, she always said two things. One of the first things that she would say is Bahamians have brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing she said, I love you. That was those were her messages that she wanted to get to her people, mm-hmm. so that she would inspire them and let them know, hey, you have the ability and you just do it. You mm-hmm. understand? You are brilliant. You just need to apply yourself to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And as for the ones coming up, I'm going to challenge somebody right now on the air, Ernestia Fraser, who I think is a Patty coming up in the system. She just won several national book awards. Mm-hmm. And I think she's one of the many that I feel have the potential for continuing this thing.
You know who's another one?
Who?
Sonia Farmer.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
Pontiana Paper Press.
I agree.
I got a flyer there for the show this Saturday, Radical Acts of Publishing. Listen, if you want to see some of the raw talent be turned in this country be turned from potential to kinetic energy, come check out this show. Right? If you want to see a space that has been curated to allow people to explore themselves and their ideas and bring the best out of them in this particular art form, books, words, crafting, Pontiana Paper Press, Sonia Farmer is doing the...
But she's not coming up. She's actually accomplishing. She is very quietly, and people don't realize this. Sonia, she has applied her beliefs, which, you know, I've seen the effort Sonia put in. I've seen her years of work.
One of the most accomplished creatives in the country.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And between Patty and Sonia, that's where the Guy Fawkes Patty Press comes up, right? Like, they both of them encourage me in my satirical pursuits, right? That's why this election, this conversation taking place after the election is so important for me, right? To see people take Michael Pintard's book, Politrics, which we all know is a work of satire, right? And for them to use that book and then to say that it is not satire, that it was never satire, right? People just accept it, right? Like they just bought it line sinking.
You do realize that the first book that Michael Pintard came out with, Still Standing, was produced by Patty and myself. And Patty was, you know, it shows you the influence she had in was having in the community, because she would deal with, like, write the books, and then I would sit down and produce them and create the artwork and some of the artwork, because another part of it was that we wanted to involve our members of our art community in what we were doing. And so, you know, it just goes to show how the reach, and it was intentional. I want people to realize it was all of that we were doing was intentional. It was determined. We were making the sacrifices, because some of it cost, we didn't get rich. Mm-hmm. We just knew what we had this goal. Well, she lit that fire in me, and I just basically kept myself attached. I realized she was very strong and driven, and Patty could spend 18 hours a day writing. People don't understand that. You hear people talk, teach me how to write. I can't. She would always say, write. Just get writing.
You teach yourself how to write by writing.
Exactly, and you keep going. You have to make the sacrifice. People don't realize there was a point when she was producing the text for the first Imperial Life website.
Mm-hmm.
I would go to bed at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning and wake up again at 7 o'clock. I would have left Patty awake working and wake up again and meet her working. That's the kind of sacrifice that Patty used to put into her work.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, you cannot achieve without sacrifice, no matter what you say or do.
And I think that you can't achieve that without community either. Nico, Jody, through exploring Patty's work, do we have a formula? Like, how do you create a sustainable artist collective? How do you create a sustainable artist space? I'm getting the impression, though, like the only certainty is intentionality and commitment to self, right, and to the community itself.
You know, sadly, one of the things, I think too many people are interested, when you talk about few, there are few people who are interested in a collective good. I mean, I hate to say that. When we are pushing for ourselves rather than, you know, a lot of people don't take into consideration, let's try help boost the whole group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and modern people are moving more and more towards self. And that's kind of sad, because I think we would do more and achieve more. You know, yesterday there were the meetings at the College of the Bahamas for the new Ministry of Culture, Art, and Heritage. And you know, one of the things, it cannot all be about money. We have a soul. I remember Patty once writing to the Prime Minister going, where is our soul? What are you doing to develop our Bahamian soul?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the only way to develop a Bahamian soul is as a collective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have to work together. But, you know, we got to be protecting our turf and defending this and making sure no one benefits.
And earmarking our profit.
Exactly.
I want to take a moment, Jody. I don't know. Do you remember watching The Spot on Cable Bahamas?
Briefly.
All right. We were on television on Cable Bahamas briefly. Thought Catchers, The Spot 242 was on ZNS briefly. Yeah. But, you know, Sekani Nash and Anku Sarah and their spouses, right, are two people who understood the value of community for the sake of community and for the sake of sustainability, right? And so Thought Catcher Productions, The Spot 242, was a space that Sekani and Anku kept alive, right, through their own resources and networks, personal community networks. We were on H.O. Nash, it's his porch, right? I don't know what Sekani had to say to his family to justify all these rowdy, smoky, bad word mouth people on West Street every other night, right? Making noise, but he beg his family to give him the space to do this. And the talent that has come out of that space right now, without any fail, Daskwe the Bubbler been through the Spot. Even if only for one night, Daskwe, even if after you touch the boy in front of you and say, in the middle of the robbery, I gotta go because I think I have gas in my elbow. He was only there for 2 seconds, but he came through. Sawyer boy, 2 seconds, he came through, right? Like, they created a space. Dion Johnson. Shakespeare Prague Company. The movie premiering June 13th, Ian Strawn's movie. Dion Johnson is, like, this boy is like Sidney Poitier level, you know. Like, phenomenal. Leah Enias, one of the funniest women in the country. Valene Roll, one of the funniest women in the country. And these women are now, like, The Spot is technically no more right now, but these are people who were able to benefit from a space that was kept open by people that just understood the value of the space, even if it wasn't going to launch them to stardom, right? Anku, Leah, Sekani, thank you.
Those collective
spaces. Sorry, Nico. On the visual arts side, when you ask about community, I think about the, as Nico said, like the art room being like this hub and this space of community. So after Generation 80, you would have had like John Cox's generation that kind of like moved through the pro society, but they had pop-up in the 90s, and pop-up became like this like community space and a place where people work. So John Cox, Michael Edwards, Katrina Cartwright, Dylan Rappyard, Dee Brown, Heino Schmidt, of course, in pop-up. And then you had the art room again being a central space where persons like Jackson Petit and LeVar Monroe and Elkino James and their generation of persons would have been in the art room as well.
And and Margot Bethel and The Hub, right? Which was a space.
Yes, Margot and The Hub, yes.
Where I had my first solo art show and I developed my stand-up career.
I think that there's something very interesting that you and Nico both spoke about, but you particularly, Aaron, about these communities having access to space. And I think that's one of the things that I've seen a shift in the visual arts space over time, where, like, pop-up was a hub. The hub was a hub. And I could only talk to, like, my generation of things that I've, like, witnessed. But seeing the changes in, like, artist-run spaces and where artists are able to, you know, just, like, open their doors for the community to come in, I think that caused a shift in our communities. That's not to say that artists aren't working in collectives again. Like, there's a fashion collective that this young photographer named Dorian Rose is
pulling together.
So there's a lot of like little like energies about, but I think we do need access to space. So I think one of the things, just referring back to what, you know, the possibilities of any external agency would want to come in and like help. Like ICE has been a great hub for young artists now, but there has to be more.
What about June on Gallery 6260?
Yes. And she has a great roster of artists that she not only just exhibits, but she works with them on their portfolios and they do critique, and she really helps professionalize them. So there's a lot of different like pockets around.
Mm-hmm. Jody, I got a call. Let's take this call, and then we got to talk about the food at the event. Just quickly, because I know I only have 45, okay, 90 seconds. Producer, can you... Good morning, caller.
Yes, I just want to say, Aaron, mm-hmm. the unmeasured economic value that they're sitting on, they call it untapped model, mm-hmm. has an estimated value of $15.83 billion.
Using
an antiquated model. Uh-huh. So tap into it. Let's talk about it one day.
Yeah, man. We're going to talk about it. Thank you very much. All right. So at the opening for the Garland Woman, Uncovering Our Bohemian Selves, I had just as much fun experiencing the culinary presentation as absorbing the artwork, right? And then I found out midway that the hors d'oeuvres were inspired by Patty's work and her experience in the island. And let me just say, I don't like plantain. I don't like plantain. Nice, a Bohemian. I don't like plantain. I don't like the. However, if you give me a hog banana just ripened, cut it and fry it like plantain, I will marry
you. Is that
what
it was?
Well, no, but they had the regular plantain. But then on top of the regular plantain, they had ackee and they had a spinach.
And I know
mix,
who did it.
And they had a salsa. They had a spicy banana salsa for the fritters.
And I could tell you that the person who did that was Alexandra Malis Lynch. I mean, she used to be, I think she still retains a Lynch. But she and I remember we worked on a project with her called Through the Kitchen Door that Patty came up with. It was an idea. And I think that may have been where she took her initial inspiration from. It was Patty writing about the history and talk about the history of Bahamian food because that's another aspect of Patty's life that I have not tapped, that I am absolutely going to tap into, is that...
Me and my belly and you.
Yeah. That she was very... her mother was a food person, my mother was a food person, and Patty and I ended up dragged along because I could tell you, Aunt Pat was... Patty's mother, Aunt Pat, was a brilliant cook. No, I would call her a chef. She didn't earn the degrees and all the rest of it, but that woman was brilliant, and pure love is what produced that food.
But this is Alexandria?
Yeah, Alexandra.
Alexandra is a food magician, historian, curator.
She is a babe.
Yeah.
In arms compared to my mother-in-law, because my mother-in-law had the tradition and was a grassroots woman who came up cooking for her family, her big family. You know what I mean? So,
Alexandra, I miss you. Yes, ma'am.
I give credit to our executive director, Malin Ford, for bringing Alexandra on. Malin and Patty would have worked together at UB. So I know that there would have been some dialogue
That's where the connection was made, absolutely.
Jody, listen, we all out of time. We thank our producer for letting us extend a little bit longer. But listen, join us next week, Wednesday. I got Mr. McCullough coming back in studio to talk to me about some things. Let's continue this conversation because I think this is the start, right, of a new conversation.
I think so.
Extended. And one of y'all who have family who could cook better bring some food. But that food at the event
was excellent. It
was Bahamian. It was inspired. My taste buds were alive as well as my eyes. It was just amazing.
Fantastic.
And the staff that worked it, I want to say a shout out to all of the staff, including the bartenders who knew not to give me no rum. We had such a good time. Thank you, Jody. Thank you, Maylin. Thank you, NAGB. Thank you, Nico. And most importantly, thank you, Patty.
Amen.
Thank you, Patty. Gay Wench signing out. The next Garland Woman on the clock. See y'all tomorrow. But before that, C.A. Newry, Guardian Radio AM. Have a great day, Bahamas. And you'd be lucky if you could marry a Garland. Trust me, you like it over here.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.